So there's going to be a theme running through my reflections today on knowing ourselves, knowing God, and being known by God. Now, there are many ways of being known. Yeats writes of being known by his love in the poem A Drinking Song. Wine comes in at the mouth, and love comes in at the eye. That's all we shall know for truth before we grow old and die. I lift the glass to my mouth. I look at you and I sigh. We did not hear the psalm appointed for today, which is portions of Psalm 139. And I want to read parts of that for you. This is the psalmist writing of being known by God. O Lord, you have searched me and known me. You know when I sit down and when I rise up. You discern my thoughts from far away. You search out my path and my lying down, and are acquainted with all my ways. Even before a word is on my tongue, O Lord, you know it completely. You hem me in behind and before, and lay your hand upon me. Such knowledge is too wonderful for me. It is so high that I cannot attain it. For it was you who formed my inward parts. You knit me together in my mother's womb. I praise you, for I am fearfully and wonderfully made. Wonderful are your works, that I know very well. My frame was not hidden from you when I was being made in secret, intricately woven in the depths of the earth. Your eyes beheld my unformed substance. In your book were written all the days that were formed for me, when none of them as yet existed. How weighty to me are your thoughts, O God. How vast is the sum of them. I try to count them. They are more than the sand. I come to the end. I am still with you. Last week I said when I was feeling out of sorts, remembering God's words, you are my beloved, with whom I am well pleased, is a soothing balm for my soul. And Psalm 139 is another refuge for me. It implies an intimacy of knowing and being known by God. To ponder a God who knows us so intimately and who was there as we were knit together in our mother's womb is beyond our human comprehension. The psalmist is open to God's intrusion and pervasiveness in all of his life. More than merely acknowledging God's presence, the writer has invited God fully into his life. Are we open to being so well known to God, to be fully transparent even to the one who created us? If we are truly seeking and walking with God, it would seem appropriate that being known is part of this two-sided relationship. I want us to contemplate what it is like to be known, and more specifically, to be known by God. This might seem like quite a leap of faith, but this is the God who knew us before we were created, who knows every one of our thoughts, the good, the bad, and the ugly, and still calls us beloved. There is the further challenge of also knowing ourselves this well. In your bulletin, there's a quote by Aldous Huxley, and I'm paraphrasing it. If most of us remain ignorant of ourselves, it is because self-knowledge is too painful and we prefer the pleasures of illusion. Self-ignorance leads to unrealistic behavior and causes trouble for everyone concerned. Without self-knowledge, there can be no humility, no authentic repentance, and therefore no knowledge of the God within. Without self-knowledge, we separate ourselves from knowing the depth of God's love for us. We isolate ourselves from others and the most intimate relationship of all. If we embark on self-knowledge, it can open us to a depth of our soul we never knew we possessed. Our deepening soul invites the divine to know us better than we know ourselves. In Bible study, we were trying to find the link between the reading of Paul's first letter to the church in Corinth and the gospel. If we can get past the fornication bit, there are two statements that I think link them, and this has to do with being known. Paul writes, "Anyone united to the Lord becomes one spirit with him, and your body is the temple of the Holy Spirit." Later in the letter, Paul writes, "Whoever loves God is known by God." This is indeed an inescapable God. New Testament professor and author Dr. Brian Rosner writes, "Knowing God is central to every version of Christian theology. What is insufficiently accounted for is the fact that there are two sides to the divine-human relationship. A huge imbalance exists between the sheer volume of scholarly and popular output concerning knowing God over against the overwhelming neglect of the more important theme of being known by God. In the fifth volume of the Chronicles of Narnia, which is the Voyage of the Dawn Treader, C.S. Lewis comments about being known by God. The children's cousin, Eustace, asks Edmund, "But who is Aslan? Do you know him?" "Well, he knows me," said Edmund. "He is the great lion, the son of the Emperor beyond the sea, who saved me and saved Narnia." Edmund humbly confesses that Aslan knows him better than he knows Aslan. "Who am I?" is one of Dietrich Bonhoeffer's prison poems. In it, he describes how he thinks the guards see him, how he sees himself, and his struggle with personal identity and integrity. The final lines voice his frustration, yet close with a powerful affirmation. "Who am I? Lonely questions mock me. Who I really am? You know me. I am yours, O God." Many want to know God. Einstein said, "I want to know God's thoughts. The rest are details." And we can certainly learn about God and be on a journey of getting to know God, but that knowledge will not be complete until our spirit is united with God. Again, from Paul's letter to the Corinthians, chapter 13. "For now we see in a mirror dimly, but then we will see face to face with God. Now I know only in part, then I will know fully, even as I have been fully known." In the gospel, Jesus finds Philip and says, "Follow me." Philip probably knew about Jesus as he was from the same city as Andrew and Peter. And yet, not really knowing Jesus, Philip decides to follow him. And not only follow him, but he also starts recruiting. He finds Nathanael and tells him about Jesus. And Nathanael makes that famous comment, "Can anything good come out of Nazareth?" And yet again, Nathanael still follows. When Jesus sees Nathanael, he says, I think tongue-in-cheek, "Here is truly an Israelite in whom there is no deceit." Nathanael has never met Jesus, and so he asks, "Where did you get to know me?" How could Jesus possibly have known what Nathanael had said, or more importantly, what was on his heart? This invokes a great intimacy, and being truly known in this way can be quite irresistible. Jesus replies, "I saw you under a fig tree." The fig tree, I learned, is a metaphor for Israel and its physical and spiritual health. So we might extrapolate that Jesus knows Nathanael to be a faithful man of God. While Nietzsche, Kafka, Camus, and Sartre engaged all of the right questions of who we are, the meaning of life, their brooding deprived them of God's joy. Perhaps our psalmist is the holy existentialist, proclaiming God's life-giving, abundant, and knowing love, even in the darkest of times. We tend to value our privacy and especially our autonomy. Our culture holds forth the self-made person. And there isn't anything intrinsically wrong with that. But for me, I prefer the psalmist's relationship with God. This personal longing to be in relationship with God reflects what I believe to be some sort of imprint of God on our genetic makeup. Can we imagine what it would be like to have this depth of intimacy and unity with God? To be called God's beloved, in spite of the fact that we are fully known. Most of us long to be loved and to be known. And here's the good news for today. We already are.